up, everybody? Welcome back into another episode of Cult Film Cafe Does Christmas. Yes, it is me, Jonathan, and as always, I am joined by my partner in crime, Kenzie.
Hello there.
So on this episode, we will be taking a look at arguably one of the most recognisable Christmas films of all time. It is 1990s Christmas family comedy film, Home Alone, directed by, you guessed it, Chris Columbus is back.
Where are you going? We're going to miss a plane.
When the McAllister family left on their Christmas vacation.
Did we miss the plane? No, you just made it.
Yeah!
They forgot one small thing.
Have yourself.
I have a terrible feeling.
Christmas.
Did you lock up?
Let yeah.
Yourself be light.
Do we set the timers on the lights?
Mm-hmm. What else could we be forgetting?
Our troubles will be ours.
Kevin!
Home Alone.
Police in the northern suburbs are on the lookout for a pair of burglars who are calling themselves the Wet Bandits.
We know that you're in there.
It's Santa Claus and his elf.
Get off my property.
This is my house. I have to defend it.
Where's your mother?
My mom's in the car.
Where's your father?
He's at work.
What about your brothers and sisters?
I'm an only child.
Where do you live?
Can't tell you that.
Why not?
Because you're a stranger.
He's a kid. I mean, what can a kid do to us?
Kids are stupid. I know I was.
You still are, Mark.
This is it.
Ow! I don't care if I have to get out on your runway and hitchhike. I am going to get home to my son.
To take your shoes off.
Why are you dressed like a chicken?
Gus Polinski, Polka King of the Midwest. If you have to get to Chicago, we'll gladly drive you.
Hey, guys.
Yesterday, he was just a kid. Ah! But tonight, he's a home security system.
You guys give up, or you're thirsty for more?
From John Hughes.
You know, I got a feeling this is going to be your best Christmas ever.
A family comedy without the family. Home Alone.
Are you here all alone?
I'm 8 years old. You think I'd be here alone? I don't think so.
So, yeah, Chris Columbus' vehicle yet again. He's either producing, directing, writing, making, shaking, moving, and fucking don't know why he likes Christmas so much. I think everybody knows Home Alone. Or you should do by now. It's on, like, this film is on every Christmas and probably has been since 1990. And yeah, most people will know what this film is. What strikes me though is just how many kind of big names are attached to it. You know, people like Chris Columbus is a director that people know. John Hughes, big filmmaker in his own right. But in this film, writer, producer, I mean, Macaulay Culkin, obviously a child star, and if probably the biggest child star of all time, or if not one of the biggest, Joe Pesci. It's got Catherine O'Hara in it. It's John Williams, the great John Williams, does the music for this film. It absolutely slapped at the box office. It's probably the highest grossing, or one of the highest grossing holiday Christmas films ever. And reading here, it was actually the highest grossing live action comedy until the release of The Hangover Part 2 in 2011.
The Hangover Part 2?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
This could be wrong. But this is the source that I am currently looking at. That's what it's saying. It was the second highest grossing film of 1990, only behind the film Ghost. It just shows you how popular it was. If anybody, have you ever seen the movie Ghost? Do you know what Ghost is?
Patrick Swayze?
Demi Moore. Yeah, pretty sad movie. You can see why that was the highest grossing film of 1990. But no, Home Alone, I think everybody knows what it is, what it's about, the whole plot about it. But let's just talk about it.
Yeah, this, weirdly enough, this is a first watch for me. I've always put this film off. I just thought I would
what
like it.
What the fuck? What the... How... Mate, I know that you're young, that, but how could you have never watched this?
I've just always avoided it. I was like, oh, that looks kind of shit. I've always kind of hated it for, like, no reason. I don't know. See, when you think about Christmas films, this is probably the first film that comes into my head, just for the fact that this film seems like the Christmas film. I don't know if it actually is or not, well, but just, when I was younger, it seemed like it. So people talk about Christmas, it's Home Alone. It's Home Alone. It's always Home Alone. I remember on back when I was on the Xbox 360, they had this whole thing about Christmas films, and it was like, which one of these is like your favourite Christmas film? I had like five. I had like Home Alone, had a few other ones I can't remember. I had Die Hard. I, of course, choose Die Hard. That was actually before I had even seen Die Hard, but I don't know why. Like, that was kind of silly. But the Home Alone was by far the one that was chosen the most. It's just, Home Alone's just loved.
I think people of a certain generation, like, films are generational. I think, yeah, over time, because this film's getting older, it could potentially be one of the first films that come out of anybody's mouth when you go name Christmas films.
Yeah.
Well, it's not surprising. What is surprising, though, is it's kind of considered one of the best Christmas films, but then again, when you then go over to Rotten Tomatoes and look at it, you go, the critic score or the tomato meter is only 66%.
What?
And you go, surely there must be a bunch of Christmas films which are way higher rated. I mean, I bet you people would say that this is a better film than Claus. Granted, the more people have seen this than Claus. But I'm right in saying that Claus was in the 90s comfortably in terms of tomato meter.
Yeah. That's crazy. 62 reviews of critics for a 66% to a 250,000 ratings for audience at an 80%.
Well, it's over 250,000.
Yeah, it's over.
575,000 on IMDb. 7.7 out of 10. So the audience are really quite close in terms of, it looks like it's a 4-star movie for most of the audience.
Yeah.
The critics are kind of 3-ish, there or thereabouts. It's crazy. I quite like this film, Home Alone 2. Lost in New York, it's also quite a fun film. Obviously, we're not here to talk about Home Alone 2. We're just doing the first one. I quite like this film. I quite like the plot. Is it original? I can't think of another film like this, but I haven't seen every movie ever made. So, but I'm pretty sure that when John Hughes was developing it, it was, he kind of thought that he better not forget his kids while going on a vacation, and lo and behold, managed to spin that into a fully blown film and script, etc. And that's essentially it. Home Alone does what it says in the tin. The family are going away on a vacation to France, and they leave one child behind. And it just so happens to be Kevin McAllister, played by Macaulay Culkin.
You can really see why Macaulay Culkin was loved so much when he was a kid, because he's really good in this film. Like, he's, like, so good. What age was he at the time?
10.
10. He's brilliant. Probably one of the best performances I've seen by someone that age. He's really good. I mean, the film itself, as well, this is a first watch for me. I always avoided it, and it is quite a good film. No, I yeah, I liked it. It was good. Don't really have any much complaints really about it either, but yeah, no, it's a good film. I thought that the robbers would have broken into the house by like way earlier in the film. I didn't realize that was just like the last act of the film, which makes a lot of sense now that I think about it. But yeah, I just didn't realize that was going to be the thing.
Yeah, it's one of them. It takes a bit of time to get well, because they don't leave for a good chunk into the film as well. You know, they have the pizza and stuff, and next morning go. That's good, maybe 10-15 minutes of the film, you know. I mean, you're looking at a film which is what, an hour 30-ish, you know, excluding credits. It's not a super long movie, so I get why you're saying that. You'd expect the robbers to have got into the house quicker, but yeah, pacing and time structure is a thing that will come up in another podcast of another movie, in my opinion, based on something that I've watched. And yeah, I can get where you're coming from. It's Macaulay Culkin's kind of in the house himself for a wee bit, you know. He goes to the shop and does that stuff, and kind of orders pizza. And do you know that there's all different parts to the film which people might forget, you know? But yeah, really fun film. And yeah, like Ken said, Macaulay Culkin is great in this, such a young actor, and there's a reason he became one of the biggest stars and child stars of all time. It's good, really good kid acting. Like, kids in films can be a bit temperamental, probably. I'm guessing I've never had to work with children in terms of shooting, thank fuck, because I guess it would be a nightmare. But he seemed as though they managed to tap into some quality that he had.
Chris Columbus is also really good at working with children. He also done the first two Harry Potter films, I'm pretty sure. Was it Daniel Radcliffe? I watched something with Daniel Radcliffe recently, and he was talking about, out of the whole time of working Harry Potter, his biggest influence, like help and stuff like that, he thought was Chris Columbus. Apparently Chris Columbus was so good with them when they were really young. Apparently he was a really good director with children.
Which is weird, because I'm not saying Chris Columbus is a bad director, but they've had incredible directors on the Harry Potter film series. Well, saying that, there's one standout. I mean, Alfonso Cuarón directed one movie. He's a real, real technically great filmmaker.
Who was that?
Alfonso Cuarón.
Oh, right.
I think he'd done Prisoner of Azkaban.
Oh, the one that everyone seems is the best.
Well, it's the darkest one as well. I like it. I think it is the darkest one, yeah. Well, no, it's probably not like the darkest, but yeah, it's kind of weird because it's before the story of Voldemort and stuff had like fully fledged into who he was. It's just,
I quite like Goblet.
Fair. Then again, this is not a Harry Potter podcast, so let's not go into what's the best Harry Potter film. Robert De Niro turned down the role of Harry.
Interesting.
And it was accepted by Joe Pesci.
He's great in it. Better choice.
Yeah, Robert De Niro was just too big and too much stature. I don't know. Joe. I like Joe Pesci as an actor. Obviously, he's great. But I feel as... I feel as though Robert De Niro has a hard time sending himself, you know, and being the sort of punchline. I would feel like that would be quite difficult for Robert De Niro to do. And I know that he's been in comedies and stuff like that, but never anything
later
like
in his
this.
Career.
Yeah, later in his career, but it's never like this, you know, where he was the punchline and he was getting beaten by a kid, you know. I feel as though it would have been strange. I'm not saying he can't do it. He's a spectacular actor, but Yeah, good choice. I think Joe Pesci is the right choice for that. It's yeah. I mean that's like I said, it's a strange film because I feel as though nothing really happens, but it does. And like I said, probably not the most technical film ever made, but it's shot really, really well. And given that this is Chris Columbus's third film ever, it's a really, really good movie. It does everything you want it to do for a movie that's around this time of year. And it is something a bit different, you know. It's not overtly a Christmas story. It's just a film set around Christmas. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, it's not like a Santa Claus story. It's not a Christmas Carol. It's not an origin story. It's not, let's retell the miracle of how Santa does his shit on Christmas Eve. It's like, it's just a holiday movie because they've set it really around this time. It's almost kind of like Die Hard in a way, where
yeah,
it doesn't need to be set at Christmas, but it is. But that adds the other kind of dynamic onto it.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah, I just, even though like the big kind of main selling part of this film doesn't happen till like the final part, the film's very entertaining the whole way through. It's fun just to kind of watch Macaulay Culkin cut about and kind of get on with what he's doing. I mean, he does come up with some good tricks and stuff like that to keep the robbers out, and some of them are quite smart. I liked what he done with the pizza guy, with the TV remote and stuff. That was quite funny.
Filthy animal.
Yeah.
That gets repeated a couple of times in the film, but to good effect.
There's a lot of, like, good parts in the film. One part I never understood: he keeps on putting sun on his face and then screaming. What's that about? In the morning,
aftershave balm, something like that. You know, where it goes into your pores when you shave. Yeah, I get that part. You know, as a man with facial hair and it's shaved in my life. You know,
but he doesn't. She wouldn't be shaving, so
yeah,
he shouldn't
have that. I don't know. Maybe it just burns. I don't know. It does, but aftershave does give you a wee burn, like, you know.
I mean, especially if you've got a cut eye, but like, it's not really burny. But I don't know. But no, it's just kind of good to see him cut about. There's that old man who just, everyone's like, oh, he's terrifying, possibly murdered someone. But it turns out he's actually really, he seems quite nice and chill. And
saves the day.
He does save the day. But I really like the part with him and Macaulay in the church. It was quite nice.
It's got a lot, that's what I'm saying. It's like, this film doesn't need to be set at Christmas, but because they've done that, they could add extra sort of elements and sort of tropes that you associate with Christmas, and it's quite nice, you know. Another thing as well is the cinematographer on this movie, second movie ever shot.
Wow.
But yeah, it's great. Some people just get it, you know. He'd worked under the guidance of director Andrei Chonchalovsky, Russian filmmaker. So obviously he'd worked on films in a different capacity, but in terms of cinematographer, yeah, second movie. He then went on to work with Chris Columbus a number of other times, and he's worked in, I think, comedies. He seems to be his thing. If you look at his filmography, it's a lot of comedy, if not pretty much everything he's done has been a comedy film. Like Ace Ventura, So I Married an Axe Murderer, Home Alone 2, Nutty Professor, yeah, Cats and Dogs, the film that Kenzie brought up on my podcast not that long ago.
Have kind of a fun little thing with this film. I watched this guy on YouTube called, I guess YouTube channel's called Scott Prop Shop or something like that. Pretty much, he's a guy who he does like props and stuff for movies. He works on movies doing like making a lot of props and stuff like that. And he gets asked about certain like films of how did they do a specific thing, and he usually goes like, "Oh, this is probably what they done." Like he done one for like Mad Max Fury Road, of how they done like the silver, like the aluminium spray paint stuff. But someone asked him about Home Alone. This is actually better. I think it's probably one of the most recent shorts that he put up on YouTube. Asking how did they get both bags when Macaulay Culkin is coming home with the bags of shopping? How did they get both bags to break at the exact same time? And he was like, "It's quite cool how he said what they this is what they done. They pretty much already had the bags both cut open, and attached like a fishing line that goes. You can't see it, but it's like under your finger in the bag, and it goes. I think it must go round all the items." And all you've got to do is just slightly pull the fishing line, and it causes everything to fall out. So they probably had that both in like sit in both bags, so they can just kind of pull, and they'll both fall out at the exact same time. That's a really random thing about the film, but I just thought it was kind of interesting. This, by the way, I'll check that guy's YouTube channel. Right? He's got a lot of cool stuff on it about props and stuff in film. But yeah, that's kind of a cool little fact.
The thing about this film is there is a lot of big kind of people in the film industry. Editor as well, Raja Gosnell. He started his career working as assistant editor in Popeye, a Robert Altman film, and has directed some really famous. Well, he became a director after being an editor, but Eddie on some quite famous films. You know, he was editor of Pretty Woman, big 90s film, you know, and Mrs. Doubtfire. He was kind of another Christmas movie, the remake of Miracle on 34th Street. Yeah, and then obviously in the late 90s moved over into being a director and directed films such as Home Alone 3, which I've never seen, Big Mama's House, Scooby-Doo, Scooby-Doo 2, stuff like that. But yeah, it's interesting. Some of these films you wouldn't expect to have a lot of kind of big actors stroke sort of film people involved in it, you know. It's quite interesting to see it all kind of come together when you take a kind of deeper dive on these people that are attached to it. It's quite interesting, you know. Like, if you were an amazing cinematographer, would you want to do Home Alone? I don't know, like, maybe you would want to do something more technically, like a bigger technical achievement, you know, a bit more groundbreaking, but then again, everybody has got their own opinion of how they would go about their careers. It's just interesting to kind of have a look at what people are involved in some of these films. And specifically some of these Christmas movies. So, yeah. Actually, just talking about Macaulay Culkin as well. The film Uncle Buck came out before Home Alone. So Macaulay Culkin starred in Uncle Buck. And that's what they're saying is without Uncle Buck, there wouldn't be a Home Alone. And apparently the part of Kevin McAllister in Home Alone was specifically written for Macaulay Culkin.
Wow.
But apparently, even though it was written specifically for him, that didn't stop Chris Columbus auditioning more than 100 other preteens for the part.
Well, doesn't seem to have faith.
Well, I don't know why he wasted his time.
So maybe it's like, I don't know if he'll be good enough for it. Let's try other people, and then of course audition him and be like, okay, nah, he's definitely the one.
Yeah, it's kind of strange. Macaulay Culkin is not the only Culkin to appear in the movie. His younger
Kieran
brother,
Culkin.
Yeah, his younger brother Kieran Culkin, who is probably now.
Mm-hmm.
Would I dare to say kind of right now more famous than Macaulay Culkin?
Oh yeah, like everyone like still knows the name Macaulay Culkin, yeah. But like in media and right now Kieran Culkin is more popular now, as of course he's in a very popular show at the moment.
It is one of the best TV shows on TV.
It's pretty fucking good. I'm not gonna lie, I agree with Jonathan, it is pretty good.
HBO's Succession, where he plays
one of the best characters.
The wild and wacky Roman Roy.
Can't wait for series 4.
Yeah. And looking at him in this film as a young kid.
He's so young.
He looks completely different now. But yeah. There's a lot of fucking, there's a lot of good stuff in this film. Massive box office success, like I've already said. So yeah, check it out if you haven't done. Everybody listening's definitely seen this movie. But it's still probably as good as you think it was when you first watched it, and it probably will continue to be. I think it's just one of these movies that it just keeps on giving every year, and will do so until, I don't know, probably long after I'm gone. This will be a classic in 50 years, like a proper classic, which, I mean, what would we call a classic now? I don't know. It's a Wonderful Life, probably. I mean, is it as good a film? Who knows? Everybody will have their own opinion on that. So yeah, is that us done with Home Alone? Just move on to the ratings, get this podcast wrapped up.
Yep.
So yeah, who goes first, me or you?
You can go first.
So yeah, I think that this film is still as fun as it always has been for me. It's just quite a joyous film. I think all parts work. The main triumvirate being Macaulay Culkin, Joe Pesci, and is it Daniel Stern? No, Marv. Their camaraderie as a trio, and specifically because Macaulay Culkin's so young, I mean, it's great how they bounce off each other. It's really, really clever. And just goes to show you that Macaulay Culkin probably is a really good actor, and he has been for a number of years. And it's a shame that his stardom kind of overtook what he could potentially have been, and he retired at 14 and, you know, just kind of had a load of money, and, you know, and life didn't really go the way that it might have went in a different way, you know. But yeah, it's good to see him pop up in things nowadays. He's been popping up in a few things, and he's kind of back in things and acting again, which is good to see. Joe Pesci, great performance, and Daniel Stern as Marv. Their camaraderie as a duo is really, really fun, and it still is to this day. So yeah, I enjoy it. Like I said, it's not the most technically breathtaking film, but it's shot really, really well. There's a lot of cool sort of sequences in it. A film that doesn't use any visual or special effects, to my knowledge, really. It all seems to be practical, which makes the film stand up even today. And I think that's the kind of moral of the story when we're talking about films that are older. If you don't have any visual or special effects, the likelihood is it's going to look fantastic in years to come. And this one still does. So yeah, I'm going to give this a 4 out of 5. I think it deserves that little extra. I think this is a film, like I said, that I'll continue to watch year on year, and I'll be happy to do so.
Yeah, I'm happy I actually got into watching this film. I feel like I've been really biased to this film for like no reason. Just not liking it, even though I've not, or having any interest to watch it for like kind of no reason at all. I had no reason not to like think much of the film because I'd never seen it. So I'm actually happy I did actually now get around to watch it, because there's a reason why it is still being known as one of the greatest Christmas films, because it's pretty good. It's better than pretty good. It's really good. But yeah, it's like performances are all great. It's quite funny. It's interesting. It's different for the time, definitely. The slapstick in the film at the ending part is quite crazy, but it's done really well. That nail part, that is quite wincing and juicing. I feel like a lot of people watch that nail part when he steps in the nail, and it's like, oof. But that's probably one of the nastiest parts of the film. But no, it's a very good family film. I think it's really good for children, and adults still, I know tons of adults who still love this film. So yeah, yeah, obviously recommend it. And most people have probably already seen it anyway, so I don't even have to recommend it.
It'll probably be on the telly at some point over this festive period.
Might be on right now, who knows, on some random station somewhere. I'm going to give it a fairly good 3.5.
4 from me, 3.5 from Kenzie. Go watch it if you haven't already. It's on Disney Plus, and it probably will be landing on a terrestrial television channel very, very soon. If not, it's already been on. It probably hasn't yet. This is a film that will probably get held to closer to Christmas Day. But yeah, it's been a pleasure as always talking about another film with all you lovely people who listen to the podcast. And if you'd like to check out past episodes, you know what to do by now. I shouldn't have to tell you. We are on all major streaming platforms. Just search Cult Film Cafe and we will appear. But what I would like you to do, if you could go and support us over on social media, that would be grand. Go and give us a wee follow over on Instagram, Twitter and Twitch. We are Cult Film Cafe on all of those platforms. And if you would like to subscribe to the YouTube channel, that would be grand also. Cult Film Cafe over on YouTube. So yeah, it's been a pleasure as always. And that is it for another episode. So it's a goodbye from me.
And it's a goodbye from me.
Podcast out.